This week we will be doing Chagiga Daf Tes Zayin. We left off on Tes Zayin and Aleph, about 9 lines down from the top of the page. We're going to be discussing a new sugya today. So Tana Rabbanan, Shisha Dvarim Nemru B'Shedim. There are 6 attributes that Shedim, that these evil demons, possess. Shlosha Kemalachei Hashares. 3 of them are similar to those attributes possessed by angels. Ushlosha Kibnei Adam, and 3 attributes are similar to those of human beings. Shlosha Kemalachei Hashares. Yeshlem Kenafayim Kemalachei Hashares. 1, they have wings, just like angels. V'tasin Misofa Olam V'ad Sofo. They travel throughout the entire world, Kemalachei Hashares, just like angels. V'yodin Masha Asilios Kemalachei Hashares. And they know what will be in the future, just like angels. So, ask the Gemara, Yodin Sakdaitach? Do we really believe that angels or Shedim can know the future? That seems to be reserved only for God. Ella, Shomin Mecharia Pargud Machasharis. Meaning, when we say angels know the future, they just hear what God is predicting, and that's how they know. Not because they inherently know, but rather because they hear it. And so, too, the Shedim are able to hear what God predicts in the future. Now, just 2 points here. First of all, what's the difference between the fact that they have kanafayim, they have wings, and they go from one end of the world to the other? So the Maharsha over here says that the wings attribute means they can fly. But when we say they can travel from one end of the world to the other, it means that Shedim and angels can exist in any part of the world. Whereas human beings, there are certain parts of the world we simply cannot live in, either because it's too hot, too cold, or for danger. So the chiddush there is that every single part of the world can be occupied by a shade or can be occupied by angels. Another point is that this very fact that we're bringing up, that angels can know the future, even if it's just through hearsay, is very debatable, because there's Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Yud Beis, which says that angels don't understand Aramaic. So Tosos says that's except for Gavriel. He understands all 70 languages. So Tosos asks that, I don't understand. If all angels know what people are thinking, then certainly they know all languages. So Tosos seems to assume that angels, not just Gavriel, all Malachim, know what people are thinking and feeling. Now that's not exactly the same thing as knowing the future, but they have some extreme level of knowledge. They can tap into our thoughts and our feelings. So Rav Ovadia Yosef in a tshuva, he writes that the Rush says it's not that angels cannot understand Aramaic. Certainly they can, because they know what we're thinking. It's that they don't want to know. It's just a lowly language in their eyes. But the Be'er Sheva, Maseches Sota, says that, what do you mean? We say Kaddish in Aramaic. Why? So that the angels won't get jealous. So it sounds like they really don't understand it. Not that they choose not to listen to it. Also, the Be'er Sheva asks, how could the Rush say Aramaic's a lowly language if it was given at Har Sinai? Also, Rav Ovadia writes that he doesn't really understand Tosos. We have many sources indicating that angels do not know what people are thinking or feeling. So Rav Ovadia concludes that only Gavriel knows and not angels. So it could be there's a difference, that angels might not know what we're thinking or feeling, but they hear from Hashem what will be in the future. Continues the Gemara, Ushlosha Kibnei Adam. There are 3 attributes that Shedim possess that resemble those of humans. 1, Ochlim Mishos Kibnei Adam, they eat and drink like people. 2, Paran Raven Kibnei Adam, they procreate like people. And 3, Umesim Kibnei Adam, they die like people, as opposed to angels who don't die. Shish Dvarim Kibnei Adam, there are 6 attributes that are stated when it comes to humans. Shlosha Kimalachi Ashares, Ushlosha Kibnei Hema. 3 resemble that of angels, and 3 resemble that of animals. Shlosh kemalachei hasharis, yesh lehem das kemalachei hasharis. We have an elevated level of knowledge, just like angels, which animals don't have. U'mahalchem bekom hazakuf kemalachei hasharis, and we walk standing upright, just like angels, whereas animals walk on all fours. U'mesafim loshon hakodesh kemalachei hasharis. We speak a language, we speak Hebrew, like angels, whereas behemoths obviously don't have the capacity to speak. Shloshik behema, how are humans similar to animals in 3 ways? 1, ochlim b'shosik behema, we eat and drink like animals. 2, pardon v'rabin k'behema, we procreate like animals. Now again, when we say like animals, it just means similar to, we obviously don't do it in the same manner, we have a more refined manner of doing it. And 3, umotzi and rei k'behema, we excrete waste like animals, whereas angels apparently don't have any eating, and therefore they don't have to excrete any waste. Continuing from the Mishnah on Daf Yud Aleph, we said over there, Kol Mistakel Ba'arba Dvarim, Rosu L'Shul Bala Olam. We said if one contemplates and one thinks about four things, it's better as if he was not created. And those four things were thinking about what's Lamala, Lamata, Le'achar, and Lefnim. What's above, what's below, what's after, and what's before. So says the Gemara, Bishnama Mala 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 Mata Mala Achor Lachai. That makes sense that a person can't think what's above the sky, or what's below the earth, or what's going to be in the future. But, so I understand why a person maybe cannot contemplate those things. It's beyond his level of comprehension. Ela lifnim, for a person to contemplate what came before the world, mada hava hava. What's the problem with that? Whatever was, was. Whatever was before the world, it existed, so what's the problem with thinking about that? So, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar, Damatar Bayu, they answer that, lema davar dome, mashal lemelech basar v'dam. They give a mashal. It's like a human king. Sha'amar la'avadav. He says to his servants, benuli paltarin gedolin al ha'ashba. Build me a beautiful big palace on top of a garbage dump. Halchu ubanu lo. They go and build it for him. So at that point, when he has the palace fully built, in ritzono sha'amelech lahaskir shem ashba. At that point, he doesn't want people reminding him that this was once a garbage dump. And similarly, whatever the world was before this world actually existed, tova vo, whatever it was more similar to a garbage dump. It wasn't in its fullest, purest form. And therefore, God doesn't want you to think, and doesn't want to be reminded of what was before the world, because now we have a beautiful paltering gedolin, we have this world, we can do mitzvos, we can engage with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and so he doesn't want to be reminded of the ashpa that was before the world was created. We said at the end of the Mishnah on Daf Yud Aleph, Kol Shelo Chas Al Kvod Kono, Rosu Lo Shel Bala Olam. A person doesn't have honor for Hashem, also better that he was not created. So says the Gemara, Mahi, what's an example of not having honor for Hashem, and therefore better that you were not created? Rabbi Abba Omar, Zeha Mistakel Bekeshes, one who gazes at a rainbow. Rabbi Yosef Omar, Zeha Over Avera Beseser, someone who commits a sin in private. So Mistakel Bekeshes, what's so bad about gazing at a rainbow? Desiv, because it says in the pasuk, Kemaria Keshes, Ashiyeba Anon, Biyom HaGeshem, the vision, the image of a rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day, Kein Mara Hinogek Soviv Humare Dmus Kvod Hashem, is similar to the image of God. So essentially, it compares the image of a rainbow to the image of God. So if one's gazing at a rainbow, it's almost like he's gazing in a way at a Kadosh Baruch Hu, which is obviously not something that's encouraged. As we know, Moshe Rabbeinu was not allowed to gaze at Hashem. Rav Yosef Amar, Zeh Over Avera B'Seiser, Kedir Rav Yitzchak, Dam Rav Yitzchak, Kolo Over Avera B'Seiser, Kilu Dochek Ragle Shechina. A person who commits a sin in private, it's as if he's pushing away the legs of the Shechina. Shenemar, Ko Amar Hashem. Hashem says, Hashamayim Kisi. The Shamayim, the heavens, is his chair. V'ha'aret Hadon Raglai. And he rests his feet in this world. So Rashi explains that a person commits an Avera in private, he's basically declaring, I don't really believe God resides in this world. But we have this puzzle that says, V'ha'aret Hadon Raglai. God does rest in this world. So that's why a person is not honoring God by trying to trick him and say, I don't really believe God is here, God's presence is here, because I'm going to commit the act in private. Says the Gemara, Eini, is it really so bad that a person would commit a sin in private? V'ha'amar Rabbi Eloi Hazakin, Imroa Adam, Shiyitzro Misgaber Olav. If a person feels like his Yitzhar Hara is building up, he's tempted to commit an Avera, what should he do? Yilech lemakom shein makirin moso. Go to a place where no one knows you. And Rashi points out, so why is that helpful? Because first of all, when no one knows you, you don't feel any haughtiness. You feel very low. And that will already subdue in a way his yetzer. Not only that, if he does in fact sin, no one's really going to care. Because as Rashi, ain't Adam nosin leiv, no one's really going to pay attention to him because no one really values him. So if he's doing it for attention, it won't get any attention. What should he do when he goes to that unknown place? Yilbash shchorin, he'll wear dark garments. V'yisatev shchorin, and he'll wrap himself in black garments. V'yasa mashli b'chafetz, and then he'll do the avera. Just don't do it in a public place where it will cause a chilul Hashem. So what do you see from this Gemara? Apparently, if you're really in a situation where your Yetzer Hara is getting very strong, we tell you, do the Avera, just do it in private. So apparently doing an Avera in private is not so bad. Now, Tosfos over here points out, you can't say that we're actually permitting him to do an Avera, right? We tell a person says, I'm having struggling with a certain Yetzer Hara. Okay, you're really struggling? Go to this city and go do the Avera. No, we wouldn't recommend that. Rather, what Tosfos explains, according to some opinions, is that, as similar to what Rashi said, that we're advising him to go to this unknown place, dress in raggedy black garments. Essentially, we're deterring him from doing the Avera by putting him in a situation that will squash his Yetzer Hara. Going to an unknown place, no one knows him, he's wearing garments that will make him feel lowly. So it's not that we say mashli bo chafetz, we're saying that at that point, what his lev will desire is not sin anymore. Because we put him in that situation. It can't be that we're telling him, go and sin. But either way, you have a stira. On the one hand, we said that if a person doesn't have air in private, he's not honoring Hashem. On the other hand, if it gets pretty bad, we encourage him in a way to go try to do an avera in private. Says the Gemara, Lokasha, Hadamati Kayafle Liyitzre, Hadilomati Kayafle Yitzre. It depends. If a person says that we are confident that there's a possibility of him squashing this Yitzer, then certainly that's what we're talking about when we say someone who actually goes and does the Avera, he's not honoring Hashem. But we're talking about a situation that's a point beyond return. Person addicted to something, there's no bechira in his mind, so there, we're just choosing between the best of the two evils. He's going to do it for sure, so we say, better do it in private, and not to make a chilul Hashem, but certainly that's not a practice that we encourage. Darsh Rabbi Yehuda Barabi Nachmeni, Mitorg Midrash Lakish, Kol Mestakel B'Shol Shedvarim, Einav Kohos. A person who gazes at three things, his eyes will become dim. Number one, Bekeshes, a rainbow. And as we pointed out before, because it compares the image of a rainbow to the image of God. Number two, Benasi, a leader. As Rashi points out, a leader, as we'll see, the Gemara will point out that a Nasi's appearance is compared to the appearance of God. And number three, Kohanim. Bekeshes, Tichsiv Kemaria Keshes, Asher Yebanan, Bioma Geshem, Humari Dimos Kvar Hashem. Gazing at a rainbow is like gazing at the image of God. Bin Nasi, a leader, God gave some of his splendor to a leader. So when one gazes at a leader, he's gazing at the image of God. That's when the Beis Hamikdash was around. When they were duchening, they would be duchening. They would bless Hashem with the names of Hashem that one may not utter out loud. And so what? So Rashi points out that at that moment when they utter the name of God, the Shekhinah is resting on their fingertips. And therefore, if one will be staring at it, one will be staring at the image of God. Now, it's interesting because seeing a rainbow is like seeing Hashem. So the Chida and the Pesach Hanayim says, what's the comparison? It says, just like a rainbow, when you look at it, you see a lot of colors, but you really can't make out which is which. The colors are kind of all blended. So to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can't really pinpoint precisely what you are seeing. That's the comparison. Now, it's also interesting because we see a rainbow in the sky. We look at it. So there's a difference between, the Beis Yosef writes, that there's actually a bracha on a rainbow. So how could it be that it's usher to look at a rainbow? If I gaze at a rainbow, it's going to make my eyes dim. And yet we have a bracha to make when seeing a rainbow. So the classic explanation is that there's a difference between re'iyah and histakos. When we make the bracha on the rainbow, we look at it, and then we turn away. Gazing means to stare at it with contemplation, with intent, for a significant amount of time. That's something that we actually do not encourage. One is not supposed to stare at a rainbow. In fact, one might not even be able to tell his friend there is a rainbow there, because that might cause the friend to gaze at the rainbow. And that's what we mean, that when one gazes at a rainbow, his eyes become dim. That's not the same as looking at it for a quick moment in order to make a bracha. But the Jewish perspective is we don't look at a rainbow and stare at it and admire it. As we know, that was actually a siman klal that was brought in the days of Noah. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nachmeni, Mitorg Midrash Lakish, gives another limit over here. Don't believe in evil and don't trust Aluf. So what does this mean? In Yom Elcha Yitzahara Chata B'Kosh Baruch Hu Mochel, if your tzahar tells you, you know what, go sin. Because you know what, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will always accept your tshuva. Al tamin, do not believe the yetzer hara. Shenemar, al tamin bira, don't trust ra. Be'in ra, al yetzer hara. Shenemar, ki yetzer ra, leave ha'adam ra. The yetzer hara is called ra, so it means don't trust ra. Don't trust your yetzer hara when he tells you, ah, don't worry, sin, you'll do tshuva later. And ve'in olaf el kadosh baruch hu. Al tetu ba'olaf means that you're not believing in God when you sin. So, olaf is Hashem. Shenemar, aluf ne'ureyata. So the Gemara says, Shema tomar mi mayed be. Well, if I'm sinning in private over here, so no one knows about it. Who's going to testify? Get Shemayim, no one's around. So the Gemara says, Avnei beso v'koros beishal adam hima yidin bo. The stones of your home, the wooden pillars of your home, they will testify about you. Shenemar, ki even mekir tizak, the even and the pillar will cry out, v'chapis me'itz yanana. So we see even inanimate objects can come and testify about you. Rabbi Zrika Omer, nishmasho adam mi'idabo, that the soul of a person will testify about him. Shenemar, mishkafta chikecha, or mishocheves chikecha shemor pischi picha. From what's inside of you will guard your mouth. Izuhi davar sheshocheves pechikushal adam. What resides in a person's insides? Havi omer zu nishama. So we see the neshama will testify about a person. Rabbi Zrika Amar, shnei malachei asharis malavano soy midobo. The two malachei asharis, two angels that always accompany you wherever you go, they will testify about you. Shenemar, ki malachav yitzav olach l'shmorcha b'chol derechecha. They'll guard you. And the chachamim say, Ibar shalad midin bo, your limbs will testify about you. Shenemar v'atem edai neum Hashem v'anikel. V'atem, your limbs, they'll be the edim to testify if you happen to sin in private. It's interesting that Tzlach over here, the Nod Behuda asks, what's the Havamina? Why would a person think that he could just sin and Hashem would forgive him? Like, what kind of Yitzhahara is that? How is that actually convincing anyone to do a sin? So he answers, the Maharsha says the way as well, the pshat is that the Yitzhahara says, achta v'ashuv. Meaning, he's not saying that a sin is good, but he's saying, sin now, do your sins, and you'll do tshuva later. What's the problem with that? Besides the fact that if a person says that, his tshuva won't help. But more than that, it's the opposite. Because the more a person sins, the harder it is to actually do tshuva. The more tumah you're having. So, avira goreres avira. You do a sin. So the Yitzhara says, do this one sin. Only one, and you do tshuva. When you do one sin, it leads to another sin. And tshuva keeps getting pushed off farther and farther until you never actually do tshuva. And that's how the Yitzhara convinces us. Okay, new Mishnah. Yossi ben Yoezer Omer, Shelo Lismoch. So what we're going to have in this Mishnah is five pairs of machloksim about whether or not one can do smicha, one can lean on a karban on Yom Tov. What will be the problem with it? Well, on the surface, the problem is that one will be leaning on an animal, and there's an Isser on Yom Tov and Shabbos to use an animal, and when one is leaning on an animal, he's using the animal. Rashi points out, this was the first machlokas that they had in Chachmei Yisrael, and so we're going to quote in the Mishnah five pairs that had this machlokas. Yosef ben Yoezer Omer, Shelo Lismoch. He said, no good. Yosef ben Yochanan Omer, Lismoch. That's pair number one, machlokas. Yoshua ben Prachya Omer, Shelo Lismoch. He said, no. Nitanai Haravali Omer, Lismoch. That's machlokas number two pair. Yehuda ben Tavai Omer, Shelo Lismoch. He said, no good. Shem Meshedach Omer Lismoch. That's pair number three. Shmaya Omer Lismoch. Biavtalyan Omer Shol Lismoch. That's pair number four. And Hillel Umenachem Lo Nechleku. Hillel and Menachem actually never had a machlokas about this. But Yotze Menachem, Menachem left. He left his position. We'll see what that means in the Gemara. Nichna Shammai. So Shammai became the pair along with Hillel. And then there was a machlokas. Shammai Omer Shol Lismoch. He said, no good. Hillel Omer Lismoch, that was the fifth pair. And says the Mishnah, now we're turned over to Tezayin Amud Beis, Harishonim Hayu Nisiyim, the first individual in each of the five pairs was a Nasi at the time. This was generation after generation. So in each generation, The first individual mentioned in the five pairs was a Nasi, which is the highest leader of the generation. Ushniyim lahem, and the second individual mentioned in all five pairs was an Av Beistin, head of the Beistin, which is obviously a very high position, but not as high as a Nasi. So says the Gemara.
Tan Rabbanan.
Shlosha mizugos harishonim shamru shlo lismoch. Ushniyim mizugos achronim shamru lismoch. Harishonim hayu nisiyim.
So again, this is what I basically explained this already, but the Gemara is just clarifying
that the five individuals mentioned in the pairs were all Nisiim, Ushniim, Lahem, Abos Beistin, Divrei Meir. So Meir looked at the Mishnah, he looked at all five pairs. Individual number one in all five pairs is a Nasi. Individual number two is Av Beistin. That's according to Meir. Chacham Momrim, Chacham argue on one of the five pairs. Because in the initial five pairs, Yehuda ben Tavai and Shimon ben Shetach were a pair. Yehuda ben Tavai was listed first. So according to Reb Meir, Yehuda ben Tavai would be the Nasi, Shimon ben Shetach would be the Av Beis Din. Chacham say, opposite, Yehuda ben Tavai was the Av Beis Din, the lower position, Shimon ben Shetach was the Nasi. Okay, so now we're going to try to clarify if Reb Meir's right, the Chacham are right, in respect to who was the Av Beis and who was the Nasi, Yehuda ben Tavai or Shimon ben Shetach. So, man tana lehud tana rabbanan. Who's the author, or who does the following braisa go like? So, Amar Yehuda ben Tavai. A little background necessary here. So, we know there's a concept of edim zomim, false witnesses, which means when witnesses come to Beis Din, if they lie, so the punishment for edim zomim is that the punishment they get is what they tried to do to the person who they testified against. So if they came and said, Reuven owes Shimon $500, and it turns out that they're lying, now they have to pay $500, and so on and so forth. So the halacha with respect to Edim Zomim is interesting, because the only time that this rule works, that the Edim Zomim get what they tried to give, is when there was a Gemar Din, they testified, and now the individual who they were testifying against was sentenced, but it wasn't carried out. Because if it was already carried out, now they don't get the punishment. So for example, if they testified that Reuven killed Shimon, and he's a murderer, so obviously the punishment for a murderer is Misa, according to the Gemara. So if Reuven was sentenced to death, but wasn't actually killed yet, and now the Edom are found to be false, so now the Edom get killed. But if Reuven was actually killed, ironically, the Edom don't get killed. So now, with that background, let's explain the following. So Yehuda ben Tavai says, Erev b'nechama, im lo haragti eid zomim, I would have regretted it, or according to Tosos, this is a lashon of a shvua, that I'm so happy that I killed a false witness. Why? To exclude the opinion of the tzedukim, who say, "Ein edim zomim nehargin achi yaharog hanidom." Essentially, what happened here was there was an eid zomim. He testified that Reuven killed Shimon. Reuven was sentenced to death, but was not killed yet. So at that moment, Yehuda ben Tavai put the eid zomim, the false witness, to death. Why? To exclude the opinion of Sadukim. The Sadukim hold, those are those who take the Torah very literally, they don't believe in Torah Shabbat Peh. They say, the Eid Zomim only gets killed if Reuven gets killed. So therefore, Yehuda ben Tavai specifically killed the Eid Zomim before Reuven was ever killed, to show that's the right halacha, and it's not that Eid Zomim only get killed after the person who they tried to get killed actually gets killed. However, Amar lo Shimon ben Shetach, Shimon ben Shetach says to him, Erev b'nechamim lo shafachta dam naki. Well, I swear that you just killed an innocent man. You spilled clean blood. Why? What'd you do wrong? I thought we said that Yehuda ben Tavai was the right halacha. No. Shere amr chachamim ein edim zomim nehargin ad sheizomu shneihem. It's true that the edim zomim get killed when there's a gemar din on Reuven, before Reuven actually gets killed. But you need to find both, you know, two witnesses have to testify. So they only get killed when both witnesses are found to be false. So over here, apparently only one of the two were found to be false, and Yehuda ben Tavai killed him. So that's not the proper halacha. you can't kill the Eid Zomim unless you have both witnesses are found to be false. And not only that, not only can you not kill them if not both of them are found to be false, Vein Lokinach Yizmu's name, if they testified someone should get Malkus, again, you need both of the witnesses to be found to be false in order to give both of them Malkus. Vein Mishalmin Mamurach Yizmu's name, and similarly when it comes to money, they only pay when both witnesses are found to be false. So clearly Yehuda ben Tavai made a mistake, and Shimon ben Shetach pointed it out. It's interesting over here that Rav Yoshe points out in the Haros that Yehuda ben Tavai killed the Eid Zomim just to make a point. So it sounds like he wasn't even doing it because that was the proper halacha. Now we do find that in the Gemara Sanhedrin. There was a person riding a horse on Shabbos, which again is only an Isser Derabanan, and they killed that man in order to make a point that they made a takana, and sometimes Beis Din has to make an example out of someone to put fear into the Hamonah. So it's interesting because over here, Rabbi Yosef says it's Tzaraf Ian. Over there, there was a takana that the Chacham were trying to protect. Over here, what was exactly Yehuda ben Tavai's goal over here to disprove the Tzaddikim? So that's a Tzaraf Ian Rabbi Yosef leaves off with. Anyway, Miyad, back to the Gemara, Kibal Yehuda ben Tavai, Shina Mor Halacha El Bnei Shem Vashetach. At that moment, Yehuda ben Tavai accepted upon himself, he's never going to make issue a halachic ruling except in front of Shimon ben Shetach because he felt so bad that he killed this innocent man. So Kol Yamav Shei Yehuda ben Tavai Hayemishtatech Al Kivro. Every day of Yehuda ben Tavai's life after this incident, he would go and prostrate himself on the grave Shel Oso Harug of this Eid Zom that he killed when it wasn't the proper halacha to do so. Vayakolo Nishma, and there was a voice that emanated from this grave. So Kisvurin Ha'am Lomar Shekolo Shel Harugu. People thought this was the voice or this was a sound emanating from the deceased. Amar Lahem, Yehuda ben Tavai said, no, it's not his voice. Kolihu, it's my voice. I'm crying every day. And Tedu, and no, it's my voice. I'll prove it to you. Shalomachar Hu Meis Vein Kolu Nishma. The very next day, Yehuda ben Tavai died and the voice was no longer heard. Amar Le Rav Acha Breid De Rav Rav Ashi. Well, how is that a proof? B'dilma piyusei paisei, o b'dinai tave. Maybe the reason that maybe it was the voice of the deceased, and maybe the deceased needed its killer, essentially Yehuda ben Tavai, to die in order to be appeased. Or b'dinai tave. Maybe this harug was in Gehenim for some reason. As we know, he was a liar, and then his Gehenim was up on that day, and therefore that's why the voice stopped crying. Again, what you see from here is that there's a concept that even after death, there still is some tikkun left that can be appeased. You see that this mace could be experiencing Yisurim, and in the next world, he can be appeased based on things that happen here, which is why the concept of Kaddish, the concept of doing things to give an Aliyas Neshama to the mace, it's a very real concept. Anyway, story over, but now the Gemara wonders, money. Now, whose opinion does this story go like? Rabbi Meir, who said, Yehuda ben Tavai was the Nasi, the higher one, and Shimon ben Shetach was the lower one, or Chachamim, who said Yehuda ben Tavai Yehuda ben Tavai was the Avbeis Din, Shimon ben Shetach was higher. So, Iya Mar Bishlam, Rabbi Meir, Damar Shimon ben Shetach, Avbeis Din, Rabbi Yehuda ben Tavai, Nasi, according to Rabbi Meir, that Shimon ben Shetach, who's mentioned second in the pairing, he's the Avbeis Din. And Yehuda ben Tavai is the Nasi, he's the higher one. So Hayin dekamur alachem nei Shimon ben Shetach. Meaning the fact that Yehuda ben Tavai accepted about himself, from now on, I'm never going to issue a halachic ruling except in front of Shimon ben Shetach. Implication being, before that, before the incident, he would always do that. So how could he do that? It must be Yehuda ben Tavai was the higher position. He was the Nasi. And that's why before this incident, he would issue halachic rulings in front of Shimon ben Shetach, since he had a higher position than Shimon ben Shetach. But if you said the Chachamim, the Yehuda ben Tavai was the lower position, and Shimon ben Shetach was the higher position, the Nasi, then Av Basim Ne Nasi Mor Halacha. How could it be that before this incident, Yehuda ben Tavai, who was only the Av Beis Din, he was issuing halachic rulings in front of Shimon ben Shetach, the Nasi? How could that be? So Gemara answers, lo, that's not what, it doesn't mean that before that he was doing that. My kiba olav de kamar, what does it mean he accepted by himself from now on? It's nothing to do with halakhic rulings. It's derufe, it's to join with him. Dafil, it's derufe nami, lo mitzter rifna. Says Rashi, what this means is that now I won't even sit on a beastin unless I'm with Shem Meshetach. Tosos even adds, let's say you have people on a beastin, and I could be a person that is on the majority in order to nullify Shem Meshetach's opinion, I'm not going to do that. So it had nothing to do with halakhic rulings. It could be really he was the lower, he was the av beastin. But it wasn't that he was issuing halakhic rulings. It was, we're talking about joining on a beastin, and what he accepted on himself is that beforehand, he would be on the same beistin as him, or he would be in the majority to overrule him in the context of a beistin, which would be permitted. And now, after this incident, he wouldn't even do that. Okay. So we continue. We said, Yatza Menachem and Nichnas Shammai. We said in the Mishnah that there was a pairing of Hillel and Menachem, but Menachem left, and then Shammai became the pairing with Hillel. So Lehichan Yatza, says the Gemara, where did Menachem go? So Abaye Yamar Yatza Tarvas Ra. He went off the derech. Rava Amar Yatzal Avodas HaMelech. No. He was serving as the Av Beis Din, and then he got a call. He had to go serve the government. He had a position for the king. Tanya Mihachi, we have a brace that supports Rava. It's Yatzal Menachem Avodas HaMelech. He went to go serve the king. V'yatzal Imo, and with him went Shmonim Zugos Talmidim, 80 pairs of students, Levushim Sirukin, who are wearing Big Day Malchus. So we see that this price of support, that he didn't go off the derech, he just simply got a job that was mandated that he had to go serve the king, so he can no longer serve as the Av Beis Din any longer. Amar, Rabbi Shimon Bar Abba, Rabbi Yochanan, La'olam al te shvus kala beinecha. You shouldn't treat Dirabbanans lightly. Why? Shahari smicha, eina ela mishim shvus. Right? The fact that, according to some, you might not be allowed to lean on a korban on yontif. That's because of a shvus, an issur derabanan of using animals. And this is not something lightly. This was something that the gedolei hador of each generation fought about. So you see, even derabanans are so chashiv, are so important that the gedolei hador spend their time arguing about them. The Gemara says, pshita. Okay, what's the chiddush here? Isn't that obvious that derabbanans have the same level, same status that we should care about them? Says the Gemara, shvus mitzvah ister chalei. No, the chiddush over here is, this shvus is different. Sometimes you could have a shvus, let's say, don't ride an animal on Shabbos, lest you come to break a branch. There's no mitzvah to ride an animal on Shabbos. Over here, there's actually a mitzvah to do smicha, but it could be smicha as an ister derabbanan. So the chiddush is that don't treat a shvus, a derabbanan, lightly, even when it's a mitzvah. The Gemara says, hanami pshita. Again, isn't that obvious? Because that's what our Mishnah says. And why would I, just because something's a mitzvah, if it's an isser, it's an isser. Says the Gemara, lafuki mimanda amar bismicha guva pligi. There's a Gemara in Beitza that actually says there's more than one opinion as to what the problem is with smicha on yontif. We've been saying up until now, the problem is, you're going to be leaning on a karban, you're going to be using the animal on yontif, which is a problem. But others say, it's because obligatory animals on yontif don't actually require smicha. As the whole pasuk describing smicha in the Torah is with respect to voluntary karbanos. So you have a machlokes as to why we don't do smicha on yontif, according to some opinions. Whether it's because of using the animal, or whether it's because there's no requirement for smicha on obligatory karbanos on yontif. So therefore, kamash malan, says the Gemara, bishvus hu depligi, the chiddush of saying, don't treat a shvus lightly, because the gedolei hador argued about smicha, the chiddush is that they were arguing about smicha in the context of not using an animal. Don't think that they were arguing about whether it's required or not. They were arguing about the shvus itself of the iser derabanan of using an animal. That's what the gedolei hador were arguing about. So Amr Amir Chama Shma Mina Smicha Bekol Chocho Beinan. So what do you see from the fact that many assert smicha on Yontif because I'm using an animal? It must be that the way the leaning is done is that I'm putting my entire weight on the animal. Because if you say that I'm not putting my whole weight on the animal, then my ka'avid, lismoch, then how am I using the animal? If the whole iser is, I can't be mishtamish b'balei chayim, so if I'm just touching it with my finger, I'm putting my elbow on it, so that's not using the animal. It must be I'm putting my entire weight, the animal is actually supporting me, and that's why it's usser. So that's the proof that smicha, leaning, requires your entire weight. Meisei, we have a kasha on this, because we say, Daber el b'nei Yisrael, v'samach. So in one pasuk it says, speak to the b'nei Yisrael. In the very next pasuk it says, and lean. So it seems to say only the b'nei Yisrael are leaning. B'nei Yisrael somchin, v'b'nos Yisrael somchos. So here, b'nei Yisrael means only the sons of Israel, and not the daughters. So according to Tanakam over here, women do not do leaning on a carbon. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, or sorry, they changed it to Rabbi Shimon. Omrim, Benos Yosom Somchos Rishus. Okay, women don't have to do smicha on a carbon, but they're allowed. As we know, women are allowed to do any mitzvah seishazman grama, even if they're not commanded on it, and they can even make a bracha on it, as Tosfos points out. So I'm Rabbi Yossi. Sachli Abba Elazar. Abba Elazar told me, Pamachas Hayilanu Egel Shozivchei Shlamim. One time we had a calf, we had a carbon of Shlamim. Deviyinuhu Lezrus Nashim. We brought it to the women's section. V'samchu Alav Nashim. And the women leaned on it. But lo v'nesha smicha b'nashim, not because women do smicha. Ela k'ni lasos nachas ruach l'nashim. It's just to make them happy. So now, what's the proof here? If leaning on a carbon requires you to put all your weight on it, so I don't understand. Women don't lean. But we're going to allow them to lean to make them happy. But if you're putting all your weight on a carbon, and you're not supposed to be doing that, that means you're doing an avoda, a service with kachim, with a holy animal, that you're not supposed to. I can't just do whatever I want with kachim. So if it's really true that smicha involves putting all your weight on a karbon, then why would we have allowed women to do this just to appease them? Ela lav shamina lo ba'inem b'kol kocho. So you see from here, from the fact that we allowed women to do it just to make them happy, it must be smicha is not with all your might. Says the Gemara, it's not a proof. No, really, smicha, leaning, requires all your might, all your weight. What about these women? We told them, just rest your hands lightly on the head of the karbon. Don't put your weight on it. Says the Gemara, well, then they didn't really do anything. If that's the case, then why are we saying that, oh, well, they're not allowed to do it, but we allow, typically, Danis Lusmicha Klal. We say that the reason we allow them to do this is because they're just pretending. Meaning, for them to just rest their hands lightly on a karbon, that's not even in the realm of smicha, if smicha really requires kol kocho. So, how can we say that it requires kol kocho, and yet we just told them to put their hands on it lightly, but then what do they really do? So says the Gemara, Amar Yami, Chadav Yod Kamar. No, there's really two reasons why we allow women to do this. Chada, Delesel Smicha Klal. Number one, because they're not really doing smicha. Because when they rest their hands lightly, smicha requires kol kocho, and they didn't do that. V'od, and an additional reason why women would even want to just pretend over here, is Lasos Nachas Ruach L'Nashim. They wanted to feel involved. They wanted to be involved. So it was similar to smicha, and they wanted to practice. Amar Rav Papa, Shma Mina, Tzdadin Asurin. So Rav Papa says, from the fact that smicha is usur on a karbon, because you'll be using the animal, but it's interesting, because when it comes to the other takanos, for example, let's say I can't ride on an animal on Shabbos. So we extended that, not just to riding on the top of the animal, but I can't use any part of the animal. So, same thing when it comes to a tree. I can't use any part of a tree. So too here. It sounds like from the fact that I can't lean on the animal, it means that I can't use any part of the animal. If I could use the sides of an animal, then says the Gemara, with the insertion of the Bach over here, Nismach Areshe. Meaning I can't lean on the back of the animal because that's where one rides the animal. But I can lean on the head. The head is viewed as the side of the animal. So from the fact that I can't even lean on the head of the animal, that shows you Tzdodin Asurin, that when they made this gzera of not using, benefiting from an animal on Shabbos and Yontif, it included all parts of the animal, not just the part that you ride on. So Elo Lashamina says the Gemara Tzdodin Asurin. So you see that all parts of the animal are usher to benefit from, and that's why I'm not allowed to even lean on the head of the animal. Now we're turning to Yedzayim and Aleph, very top line. Ravashi Amar, a few timut tzadim mutarin. It could be that sides of the animal I could use. So I could lean on the leg, I could lean on the foot. But what's the difference over here? Kol debahadi gaba ki gaba dami. The head, when an animal is on all fours, the head is parallel, it's on the same plane as the back. Says Rashi, Sheshava Lagova Hagav Shal Behema. The head is on the same level as the back. And therefore, maybe only when it comes to the head, we view the head as being just like the back. And therefore, since the initial takana was, don't ride an animal, don't use its back, that includes the head, because the head is on the same level as the back, but really, I might be able to lean on the foot or the leg, which are mamish but studin of the animal. Okay? We'll stop here at the new Mishnah.